scripture lesson this morning comes from John, the 29th chapter. I begin reading at the first verse. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. It was folded by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed, so that they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to be born again. It's the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
On Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene and several other women went to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body. On the way, they were concerned because on Friday they had watched the tomb being sealed with a stone, and they wondered how they were going to be able to move it. We're having trouble with the microphone.
And so upon arrival, they discovered that the stone had already been moved away and that the tomb was open. When they got close enough to look inside, they discovered that the tomb was empty. Alarmed, Mary ran to find John and Peter. And then together the three of them ran back to the tomb and found it just as Mary had described. The stone was pushed back. The tomb was empty. The linen cloth that had been wrapped around his body was laying flat on the slab, and the cloth from his head was in a different place. Peter rushed into the tomb. John paused for a moment and then followed him. They looked around and left. Mary, however, stayed around to grieve, to mourn. She was weeping softly, thinking that somebody had stolen Jesus' body away. How could they do this? She wondered. Haven't they done enough already? Have they no shame? I've tried to imagine what she might have felt. But it's beyond me. I know it was devastating. But just then, in that moment when she needed him most, she saw the resurrected Jesus. I want to bear witness this morning that time again and time again, when I've needed him most, I've seen him. Anybody with me? Have you seen him just when you needed him? Well, it was at just that moment she saw the risen Lord. However, momentarily she didn't recognize him. She thought he was the gardener. Maybe he would know what had happened. But just then, he called her name, Mary. Would you listen quietly and carefully for a moment? Do you hear him calling your name right now? Well, and maybe the greatest recognition moment in history, her eyes were opened to the truth of Easter. She saw firsthand the risen Jesus. He immediately sent her to tell the good news to his other followers. Previously, she had run to find them in tears. Now she runs again in joy. Shouting, laughing, crying, the good news of Easter, he's risen. I have seen the Lord, he's risen. He's risen indeed. Can we do that? He's risen.
He's risen indeed.
That's not very loud.
He's risen.
He's risen
indeed.
That's better. Be listening, because I caught you that time. Isn't that a great story? Does it make you tingle with excitement when you hear it? Well, if it doesn't, you better check your spiritual pulse. That's all I got to say. W.E. Sangster was one of the greatest preachers of the 20th century. Toward the end of his life, his vocal cords were paralyzed, and he was unable to speak. On the Easter Sunday morning before he died, he painfully printed a short, poignant note to his daughter. How terrible it is to wake up on Easter Sunday morning and to have no voice to shout, "He is risen." He goes on to say how much worse to have a voice and not shout it. Can we do it right this time? He is risen!
He is risen indeed!
Amen. That's the good news of Easter. On Good Friday, evil had its best chance to defeat God and could not do it. Tony Campolo is a sociology professor at Eastern College in Pennsylvania and an evangelist. He tells the story about a Good Friday service that he attended in the church where he worships. He says that the service had lasted all day. There were 7 preachers. I wonder how many of us would have been around for the second one. Especially if the first one preached for an hour. The final speaker that day was an old, old man. And he mesmerized the choir, the congregation, using one sentence, just one line. It's Friday. But Sunday's coming. It was Friday, and my Jesus was dead on the tree. But that was Friday. Sunday's coming. A deacon in the church cried out, "Preach it, Pastor." And that's all the encouragement he needed. He got a little louder. It was Friday. And Mary was crying her eyes out. The disciples were running around in every direction like sheep without a shepherd. But that was Friday. Sunday's coming. The people in the congregation began to pick up the message. Men all over yelled, "Keep going, preacher, keep going." And so he said, increasing his volume, "It was Friday. The cynics were looking at the world saying, as things have always been, so shall they always be. You can't change anything in this old world." But those cynics did not know it was only Friday. Sunday was coming. Will you help me a little bit? It was Friday. The forces that oppress the poor, that make them suffer, were in control. But that was Friday. Sunday's coming. Help me. Sunday's coming. Some of you are a little bit afraid to speak out in church. It was Friday. Pilate thought he had washed his hands of a lot of trouble. The Pharisees were strutting around rejoicing, thinking that they had won the battle, that they were back in control. They didn't know it was only Friday. You got it. He kept going. 7th preacher now. He kept going for an hour and a half. Finally, he ended his message by shouting at the top of his lungs, "It's Friday!" That's the good news of Easter. Friday's gone. Sunday has come. Christ has conquered death. He's risen from the dead. He's won the victory. He's present with us. Jesus is risen. He's alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive! There are several important things that I want to share about the resurrection this morning. First of all, Easter is a love story. We have a little four-letter word, love, that we use to cover all different kinds of things. I love my convertible. I love my puppy. I love my friends. I love my family. I love my church. All kinds of things that we use the word love to describe. Greeks had 4 words for that. The first word that they had was philia. It meant brotherly, sisterly kind of love. It meant the kind of love that you and I share with each other. We share it when we speak. We share it when we shake hands. We share it when we hug necks. But then there's eros, and it's usually associated with sexual pleasure and intimacy. But it has another meaning as well, and that's self-love, the kind of inappropriate love we sometimes have for others and ourselves. And then there's storge, and the storge generally means the kind of love that you have for inanimate things like my convertible or things like Bendy, my little dog. But then there's agape, the deepest kind of love, and that's the kind of love that God has. The Bible says, for God so agaped you and me that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Easter is a love story. And Mary Magdalene was at the tomb that morning because she loved Jesus and she knew Jesus loved her. John, in his writings, puts times to things more than the other gospel writers do. And so he tells us that the event took place early in the morning. But maybe to be redundant, but also to make sure we get the message, he says, while it was still dark. When are we told that the night is the darkest? Anybody? Just before the dawn. Well, this not only describes the time of day, it describes Mary's emotional condition at that moment. In a world with no street lights, the time before dark could be so very dark that every step taken was hazardous. Should she not have waited just a few more minutes? What difference would those few minutes make anyway if she had waited to make sure she could see? Except, of course, love compels us to hurry. Probably every one of us can remember those times in our lives where we received a phone call or we heard something and it was so urgent that we went right then. I can only imagine Mary's thoughts between about 5 o'clock on Friday and early before dawn on Easter Sunday morning. She waited as long as she could, but then she just had to go. remember with me. Mary was the one from whom Jesus cast out 7 demons. Whatever had been wrong with her, whatever evil had possessed her, it had been as bad as it gets. When she first came to Jesus, she was so driven by demons within and without that only a fool, a saint, or the Son of God could have loved her. After she carried the news of the missing body to the disciples, she returned with them to the tomb, where she remained standing outside weeping. The women who came with her were gone. Peter was gone. John was gone. Everybody was gone. But Mary, she could not leave. Why not? I don't think it was faith that kept her there. I think it was love. She stayed because she could not forget him. And she could not forget what he had done for her. And in that moment, she heard him call her name. And became the first person to see the resurrected Jesus. A few years ago, Joe Wise was a resident physician at Cook Hospital in Fort Worth. And he was known throughout the hospital as the doctor with a rose. He made people smile because he always had a rose pinned on his white lab coat. He walked into one of the trauma rooms at the hospital, and there lay Madge. That day, she needed more than just a smile. A tragic accident had left her leg nearly severed at the knee. So when Joe saw her in ER and she was shivering, he did something unusual. He took off his lab coat and gently placed it over the young woman. When she was moved into OR, the coat was removed, but she asked to keep the rose. Throughout the surgery, she held that rose tightly in her hand. As she recovered, Dr. Wise paid many visits to her hospital room, always with the rose, and Madge never forgot. It was no different for Mary Magdalene. She could never forget what Jesus had done for her. And so she came early. She stayed late and encountered the resurrected Jesus. For her, Good Friday was gone. Easter had come. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Easter comes to bring us victory, peace, and joy. Mary Magdalene came to the tomb brokenhearted, scared, troubled, frightened, confused, needy. Met the resurrected Christ, and her life was forever changed. A young woman was sitting in her pastor's office, brokenhearted. A few weeks earlier, a tragic accident had made her a 26-year-old widow. And they had three small children. "I don't know what I'm going to do without him," she said. "But I know one thing. I have a choice to make. I can be bitter, or I can get better." Isn't that the choice for all of us? We can be bitter, or we can get better. She met the resurrected Christ that day. He changed her life, and she never forgot. When trouble comes, when life tumbles in around us, when disappointment breaks our heart, sorrow grips our spirit, we have a choice. We can grow better or we can get bitter. John Milton became blind. Beethoven lost his hearing. Louis Pasteur became paralytic. Helen Keller was deaf and blind. Paul wanted to carry the gospel to Spain, but instead was imprisoned in Rome. But they were not defeated because they met the resurrected Jesus. And he changed their lives forever, and they never forgot. And that's the good news of Easter. God wins. Good Fridays are always followed by Easter Sundays. Can I get real and personal for just a moment? We're talking about the day of resurrection. We're talking about the day of new life. Are there areas within you where it's still Friday? Is it Friday for a friend, for a family member? Are you struggling to make ends meet? Are there relationships that need to be restored, habits that you can't seem to change? Are you swallowed up by grief? Are there hurts, pains, and scars that just don't seem to heal? Sins that need to be forgiven? It's Sunday. Let it go. And so in the midst of the good news then, Easter sends us on a mission. When we come face to face with the risen Lord, he puts us to work, gives us a job, sends us out as witnesses for him. Jesus told Mary Magdalene to go tell the good news of the incredible victory of his resurrection to his followers. And so she ran to tell them that she had met the risen Christ. Madge could never forget what Jesus did for her through Joe and his rose. And so for years after that, she sent him roses so that he could share them with needy, hurting people as he had shared one with her. The young widow could never forget what Jesus did for her and began helping other broken, bitter, needy people get better by leading them to him. They all bore witness to the resurrection. How important it is for us to tell the good news. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
How important to shout it from the rooftops that Friday's gone and back in the 1940s, Joe King lived in Cincinnati, Ohio. He was a brilliant artist, very, very talented, painted many masterpieces. In one of his paintings, he portrayed Jesus on the cross with all of its excruciating horror. One year, Joe King's painting was exhibited during Holy Week in the window of Shelto's department store in downtown Cincinnati. I don't know if any of you remember, but back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, Loveman's downtown had one of those corner windows. And they always put up beautiful displays in that window. Well, that year, in that corner window, they displayed Joe King's painting. It was against a backdrop of black, and you could see the patches of red on the body of our Lord. You could see pain written across his face. An article in the Cincinnati Inquirer said that one morning, a young man was standing in front of the store selling newspapers when a man on his way to work stopped for a moment to view Joe King's painting. Well, the boy walked over and stood beside the man, and they viewed the painting together. Finally, the man walked away. As he did, the boy heard him say, "My, what a shame. What a pity." The boy stood there for a moment, looking in the window. His eyes began to tear up. And it dawned on him what the man had said. "My, what a shame. What a pity." The reporter said that the boy suddenly turned, started running up Fifth Street, shouting, "Hey, mister, that ain't the end of it. He's alive now. Easter has come. Friday is gone. Sunday is here. Christ is risen. Christ is risen.
Indeed.
Hallelujah. Thine the glory. Amen."